Eric, good morning.
G'day, Tess. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No problems. Look, it's a really important issue, so it's good to give it some air.
Yeah, it's pretty serious looking. So for, I guess, those who haven't heard of this issue, what exactly is going on?
Oh, look, there's kind of a perfect storm of factors at the moment. There's a situation where in the midst of all this tax debate, you've also got gas companies actually starving a lot of the East Coast of gas. Within the next year or so, homes and businesses themselves are actually going to have less and less gas because of the amount that's required to mine these huge amounts of gas up on the coast of Queensland. Now, at the same time, you've got that, which is kind of creating what's called the gas crisis that's sort of been around the papers the last couple of weeks. You've got a situation where the tax offsets that have been established by the Australian government to encourage mining appear to be so generous that we're not likely to see any tax return to the Australian economy despite the companies being allowed to mine these resources for years and years in the near future. So in some ways, we're sort of facing a bit of a double-edged sword. And I think coming into the budget, it's only 8 weeks away now, the government is really sort of looking at how some of these things can be changed, because obviously for the public, it does look or appear to be very generous at the moment, I'd say.
And so how valid are these tax concessions that are being put on?
How valid are they?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing illegal about them. The law is as the law is. I mean, the PRRT, another one of those abstract tax acronyms that bureaucrats love to come up with, but the issue is that the PRRT was essentially designed well before fracking for gas and the like came about. Really, it's an iron ore mining tax. It's what's known as a super profit tax. Basically, the idea is that companies will be able to put back into the economy once they mine for the resources. But with things like LNG, it can take decades and decades and decades for that to occur. And in the meantime, it costs billions of dollars to set up the projects, and it also has high risks of natural disasters. So in a sense, LNG can be an incredibly efficient resource, but it's also extremely expensive to extract. And so it was all designed in a way that basically we needed to get companies like Shell and Chevron and Woodside to go in and mine this resource. But the worry from the Australian government was that basically if the tax burden was too high, then the resources would never be mined. So that was a dilemma they were faced with. But what Australia does not have, and what countries like Qatar do have, is a royalty tax. And so in Qatar, basically whatever the cost of production become, or whatever output there is out of a particular resource, the Australian taxpayer gets a royalty out of that. And so that's a much more stable revenue-gaining tax rather than the PRRT, which actually basically has a whole bunch of very complicated parameters that basically allow the companies to offset the cost of mining the resource against its future profits.
And so you mentioned Qatar there, but are we the only nation providing such large concessions, I guess, to multinational gas companies?
Yeah, look, at this stage, just because of the scale of Australia's mining, it really is the only comparable one. We account for a huge amount of the world's LNG production. And so, to be honest, Qatar is sort of one of the only valid examples. And Australia's not, as far as I know, I don't have the exact detail of the tax parameters of every other LNG producing nation, but in this particular comparable instance, Qatar, it's scheduled to get in the tens and tens of billions of dollars in tax revenue, in Australia, it looks like getting $800 million by 2021. That is a tiny fraction of the revenues for the amount of gas that we are producing.
And so I guess one of the most alarming parts of this for a lot of people would be that gas companies are able to claim concessions for costs incurred during cleanup processes of environmental disasters. And even in the US, we saw BP claim back $15 billion of its $20 billion Gulf oil spill cost. Is it possible that we could see the same thing that happened there happen in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is one of the really interesting things to come out of a recent Senate inquiry. Basically, the tax office under the law sort of classifies oil spills as what's called exploration expenditure. Another one of those classically bureaucratic ways of describing something that essentially means, yes, gas companies can claim tax credit for an oil spill. And so in that situation, if a mine was tapped and it was unsuccessful and there was an oil spill, because we're not taxing companies until they are making a profit, they could actually gain money from an oil spill. So it's a situation where basically they would get their tax back because it's under that excess exploration expenditure sort of framework. And so they are, that's one of the things they're reviewing as well. I mean, it does sound absurd, but that's the way the system is set up at the moment. So when the government review comes down in April, that I'm sure a lot of people will be very interested to see whether that excess exploration expenditure clause still remains.
And so you have mentioned the Senate inquiry a couple of times. April, you said there that it will all come out. Do we have any predictions for what findings may come out of this?
Look, I would put probably pretty good money on some sort of minimum resource rent tax being applied, and in simplified terms, that's just a royalty. And so that would make a huge difference if they do that and still. At a fairly competitive rate, I think Qatar's at around 15% or so. If they go below that, then they'll still encourage multinational companies to come and mine. Those multinational companies will still no doubt see stratospheric profits, but you know the taxpayer will also see a pretty good return on their resource investment. So it's one of those things. You know, it depends where you stand on mining or how much exploration should be done of these natural resources, period. But if it is going to happen, I think the government would recognise that it quite seriously needs to look at getting a return on that investment for the taxpayers so that we can fund schools and hospitals, you know, so that we can return the budget to surplus and all those other factors. So I think they'd very seriously consider implementing a royalty, and you know, I understand that that's under pretty serious consideration in budget circles at the moment.
And so the budget is coming out in May. If there are any adjustments made in the budget that does come out, do you think that they will just be relatively superficial, or that they could potentially have quite an impact on this situation?
Well, I think, as I said, if they do go with a minimum resource rent tax and or a royalty, then that would be quite a significant move and would be a big boost. Anything short of that, I'd say, is probably just tinkering at the edges. And you really are looking at superficial measures there. Anything that just taxes profits has such a long, long lead time before you really see any significant return on the investment. So it's, I'd say, yeah, short of a minimum resource rent tax, it would be fairly superficial, but I think the signs are pretty promising that something like that will come down.
Well, fingers crossed. It is something to keep an eye on. Eric, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
No problem. Thanks, Beth. Thanks for having me.